I'm Ash, and today I'm going to talk about resistance risk assessment for newly developed reduced risk insecticides in oblique banded leaf roller. Tree fruits are one of the biggest industries in Washington State, with an economic impact of $6 billion on the state economy. Washington is number one producer of apple, pear, and cherries, contributing 17% to the national fruit exports in the nation. Insect pests are one of the major problems of tree fruits, leading to poor quality, low yield, and high cost of production that results in low profits for the growers. Oblique banded leaf roller is a tortoiseed moth. It's native to North America and spread throughout North America. It's one of the major pests of tree fruits. Larvae of this pest roll the leaves and feed on the surrounding foliage, as well as on the surface of the developing fruit. We have used conventional insecticides such as OPs to control this pest for decades. As a result, this pest developed resistance, which led to the control failures in some cases. This gives us call for the development of new chemicals with novel modes of action. Industry responded to the call and developed such as the Dow AgroSciences. They took spinosad, the first chemical in spinosad class, and replaced these methoxy groups with the ethoxy group and developed this new product, Spinetoram, which acts through a novel site on nicotinic receptor and is highly effective against OBLR. Similarly, DuPont developed a unique compound, chlorantraniliprole, or rynaxypyr, which selectively binds to a unique site on ryanodine receptors, stimulating the release of ryanodine receptor-mediated internal calcium stores that leads to paralysis and death of the insect. Now that we have these chemicals, adoption of these chemicals into the IPM programs for OBLR is critical. But resistance remains a threat. Successful resistance management cannot be possible without complete assessment of the genetic, ecological, as well as operational factors associated with resistance. Management strategies for resistance are usually developed once it has occurred in the field, which is too late. To manage resistance or risk assessment before its occurrence in the field would be a proactive approach and could be extremely valuable for developing strategies to manage susceptibility that will lead to the delayed development of resistance. There are which can be done in various ways, such as selection for resistance in the lab, monitoring field populations for resistance, or using molecular markers if available. There are also some quantitative genetic models that consider resistance as a continuous variable and predict the speed and direction of the change, a genetic change in resistance. These models use data from selection experiments and estimate heritability, which is the proportion of phenotypic variation that has a genetic base. This is the basic model used to estimate heritability. With this background, the major objective of my study was to assess the risk of resistance development in OBLR against these newly developed products, Rynaxypyr and Spinetoram. In order to achieve that objective, I developed diet incorporation bioassay, where I prepared a stock solution that was 10 times the highest concentration to be used in any of the bioassays, and then incorporated that with the water and diet premix. Used 8 cubic centimeter portion of the diet into each of these small petri dishes, and introduced 5 neonates in each of the dishes. Reared them in the lab under these conditions of temperature and photoperiod. And after 96 hours, the mortality was assessed. Then survivors were transferred to the untreated pinto bean diet and reared in the lab until next generation. The LC50 values were estimated using a probit option of the Polo software. In the selection experiment, 2,000 neonates were treated at approximately LC50 at each generation, and a sample from each of the selected populations, as well as from the unselected lab population, were tested after each generation of selection based on availability, and to test whether there's any shift in the, their susceptibility. And resistance ratios were determined using lethal concentration ratio test, and the resistance ratios with the confidence intervals not encompassing zero were considered significant. And the results of our field screening indicate that significant variation already exists in the field populations in response to these chemicals, which have never been used in the field before. And the gray area indicates logistically impossible values in this graph. And as you can see, the resistance ratios that were less than one are represented as a negative inverse of the resistance ratio here in this graph. In selection, after five generations of selection for Rynaxypyr, the LC50 values were increased to 7 times that of the lab population, which was statistically significant. Similarly, after 4 generations of selection for Spinetoram, LC50 values increased to 3.5 times, which also became significant eventually. Then I used this model to estimate heritability, which is equal to response to selection or selection differential, whereas response to selection is actually incorporates the change in LC50 of the selected population, as well as selection differential incorporates the heterogeneity component into this model, and found that the heritability of Rynaxypyr resistance dropped after 5 generations of selection, as you can see, which indicates that most of the variability in that particular population has been selected upon. Whereas that against the Spinetoram did not drop, indicating that there is some variability still in that population to be selected upon. In order to compare the rates of resistance development, what I did, I used this model to estimate a response quotient, which is equal to response to selection over selection intensity, considering normal distribution of response of that population, and found that the predicted rate of resistance development was lower in case of Spinetoram than that in case of Rynaxypyr. Based on the results, I conclude that significant variation already exists in the field population in response to these newly developed products, which is risky. LC50 values were significantly increased even after few generations of selection, another risky factor. Heritability of resistance against Rynaxypyr has been reduced, whereas that against Spinetoram has not been reduced yet. A predicted rate of resistance for Spinetoram was lower than that for Rynaxypyr. That leads us to the main conclusion that the risk of resistance development is higher for Rynaxypyr as compared to Spinetoram. This study was unique and first of its kind, because all of this study was performed even before first registration of any of these chemicals. And it enables us to be good stewards of these products and be practice proactive resistance management, and not wait until resistance appears in the field and rely on the resistance management practices, which is the wrong name for the right concept, susceptibility management. Now that I have a resistant population for each of these chemicals, I can go ahead and determine mode of inheritance, the type of resistance, as well as the molecular basis of resistance. With this, I would like to thank my advisors, lab members, as well as funding agencies for their guidance and support. And with this, I'll take any questions you may have. Thank you all very much. It's in the lab for, it's actually the question is that whether the selection was done on susceptible populations or the one collected from the field. And actually, it's this population we collected from the field maybe 15 years back, but has it been in the lab for 15 years, supposed to be susceptible.
Is this the first time in existence for a chlorantraniliprole?
Excuse me? Actually, this is brand new chemistry, so yes. Question is this the first time of first record of resistance for Rynaxypyr or chlorantraniliprole? Yes, it is.
What happened if you mix the two chemicals together, the two insecticides, do you actually overcome the resistance?
Question is, can we overcome resistance by mixing two chemicals? And the answer is not necessarily. Because maybe the mode, that's why I'm doing my future studies to determine molecular base or biochemical base of the resistance. If the similar enzyme is degrading both chemicals, then it won't help. And if both enzymes are different, then maybe either alternating these chemicals, use of these chemicals in the field, or maybe mixing would help. Yes?
It's quick.
So I have a question. You said one of your objectives is to study the field population monitoring. Have you ever think about it, to sample some field population and see if there are any response like this?
That's what I showed in my first graph. There was a significant variation in the populations already, even before first use. And well, in my future plans, it is also in my plans that what I will do is select those populations, field populations, for resistance and see how quickly they develop or how high they get. Because they will have obviously more variation in the population as compared to my lab population.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.